You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Welcome back. Let's get into company news. Private healthcare provider Netcare has delivered a steady improvement in financial performance for the 6 months to end March 2022, reporting a 2.3% increase in group revenue to 10.3 million rand, I beg your pardon, with adjusted headline profit per share rising 29%. The company reported an interim dividend per share of 20 cents. Netcare believes that lower patient volumes experienced in 2021 of December and January 2022, there's been high demand for private healthcare services since the fourth wave of the COVID-19 pandemic subsided, which was largely driven, as you know, by the Omicron variant. Let's get you more detail. We speak now to Dr. Richard Friedland, CEO of Netcare. Good evening, Dr. Friedland. Thank you so much for joining us.
Absolute pleasure, and thank you for the opportunity to do.
An improved performance compared to the same period last year. What would you say drove the growth?
Well, we're seeing a return to normal pre-COVID activity, mainly in the last 2 months of our first half in February and March. But in the same period, we saw a significant reduction in the number of cases we admitted for COVID-19. Remembering, of course, that last year, over December and January, we had the second wave, and we were almost out of beds with the second wave, particularly in KwaZulu-Natal. Whereas now in December and January, we experienced a fourth wave, and whilst a lot of people got COVID-19, very few needed admission to hospital, mm-hmm. and of those that needed admission to hospital, very few were desperately ill with COVID-19, as we had seen in the second and third wave.
Mm. And the expanding on your point at that, right, looking at hospitalization trends over the half-year period, what were the occupancy levels in acute hospitals in comparison to the previous year?
Well, our occupancies were extremely low in December and January, but remembering that's seasonal, but it was also exacerbated by the fact that we had the fourth wave and no one wanted to come near a hospital, understandably so, versus our occupancies last year, which were buoyed by the number of COVID admissions. So a completely skewed picture, but our occupancies in the last 2 months of the 6 months were just over 60%, some 62%.
Something that really stood out for me, Dr. Friedland, is at your mental health facilities, the average occupancy across February and March of 2022 climbed to 78.8%.
Now, there is an enormous demand for mental health services. There is an unmet demand. I think as the stigmatization around mental health diminishes and we recognize that this is a phenomenon that we all need to embrace and confront, we are seeing huge demand for mental health care services. And I think we're generally living in a very stressed society, COVID aside.
Mm. Just going back to the numbers, group net debt declining to 5.4 billion rand from 6.1 billion rand in the previous year. Is this at a comfortable level for you?
Yes, we're very pleased with our debt levels. We've also reduced the amount of committed facilities we have by 2 billion rands because we have a better understanding of the financial impact of COVID. So we think that we're in a much stronger financial position as we move forward, and we think there's more room to reduce debt even further, although it's currently below our target of 2x debt to EBITDA. So very comfortable with those levels at the moment.
Right. Dr. Friedland, you've sounded the alarm on supply chain bottlenecks and rising interest rates, which are placing increasing pressure on prices. Just please expand on that for us.
Well, I think all we said is that there are some headwinds from a macroeconomic point of view that are concerning. One is the stability of our national electricity grid, and I don't think I need to elaborate on that. Mm. The other is what we're seeing in the UK, Europe, and the United States, where they're facing a potential cost of living crisis. And, you know, if you translate that into the South African market, where we are going to see rises, and we have seen already in fuel and particularly diesel and petrol, and also potentially food, a basic food product. You know, the consumer may come under enormous pressure. Now, healthcare is somewhat defended in that certainly in the private sector, most people who access private healthcare have medical insurance. But, you know, when the consumer is under enormous pressure and disposable income is constrained, we're certainly hoping that they're going to hold on to their medical schemes.
Sure.
Membership.
Sure. What's been the impact of long COVID on operations?
Well, thus far, we haven't seen a massive impact, but we're seeing enough of it to realize that this is something we can't ignore. And so, due to what most of our focus has been on treating the acute cases and people desperately ill and potentially at risk of dying, we've now got to divert our attention to the longer-term side effects and conditions that we're seeing. And as we pointed out in the presentation, there are over 200 of these potential signs and symptoms or clinical conditions, some of which can be treated at a primary care level or a mental health level, but some of which, unfortunately, are going to require hospitalization and more acute treatment.
Mm. Dr. Friedland, we're having this conversation on the backdrop of load shedding, right? I know you don't want to get into it extensively, but what risk does it pose for the business?
Well, up to now, we've coped, and we've coped very well. It costs us anywhere between R1 million to R1.5 million a month in diesel to keep all of our generators operating. We've got over 220 generators in our group because you can imagine within a healthcare setting, you simply can't afford to be without electricity for 1 millisecond, let alone a minute or two.
Mm.
But our concern is the stability of the grid, and should load shedding reach higher levels, we think that that can be quite debilitating and destabilizing. So I think at the current levels of load shedding, we can cope. But we are concerned going into the colder months of winter that we're going to see more instability in this grid. And, of course, in our environment, we're dealing with the sanctity of life. We simply cannot afford to be without power, and we can't afford to have any disruption.
Absolutely. On the back of this impressive result, outlook for the group?
Well, we've been cautiously optimistic because we're saying that, you know, if we're not going to see a new virulent wave of COVID, and who knows, we've got it wrong as a globe for the last four waves, then we think activity returns to pre-COVID levels in the medium to long term and probably towards the end of this year. However, if there is a new virulent virus out there, it could be quite disruptive. I think what's encouraging is that for many South Africans, we have this hybrid immunity. In other words, we've either had COVID ourselves and we've had the vaccine, and that should offer some level of protection. And so I think we're certainly better positioned should there be a massive and severe outbreak. But if it continues like we see now, with the fourth wave and variants on it, then I think that augurs well for the future.
Right, and much has been said about South Africans vaccinating, right? In order for us to return to pre-COVID conditions and everybody just getting up and running and the economy getting up and running as well, are you able to just tell us how the vaccine rollout program has been going for you as Netcare?
Yeah, it's gone very well. We took a decision that we weren't going to make it mandatory. We counseled a lot of our staff members, and we took a decision that we'd rather use persuade people and educate people as to the benefit. We have over 85% of our staff who voluntarily have taken the vaccine. We have more than 75% of them who are now fully vaccinated, in other words, have had all their boosters. And we have another 7 or 8% who've been exposed to the virus and who have natural immunity. So within Netcare itself, we're at levels of hybrid immunity close to 95%, which we think is a good result. And fortunately, we were able to achieve that without any mandatory policy or forcing people to have the vaccine.
Mm. Dr. Richard Friedland is the CEO of Netcare. Thank you so much for availing yourself this evening.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.